So another angel approached him, and this request was passed on. We had to wait, and then we received the answer. This brother is still in the house, they said. They were about to give him the news that he was expected. He was led out and then stood in front of me. I took him by the hands and I cried, and so did he. They had not given him the news that I had arrived, so it was a surprise for him. And I said to him, I hope you don't have to be here too long, I will do everything for you. I will pray, I will ask that you be freed, that we can walk the path of salvation together, that we can find liberation together. You should not walk this difficult path alone, I want to share it with you. I will ask that it may happen. He was quite silent, he was surprised, he was touched to see me and that I was willing to share the same fate with him. He couldn't tell me much at this first meeting. I wanted to bombard him with questions. What are you doing in this house? How are you? Are you being tormented? Are you suffering? Are you sad? Or how are you? He gave me no answer, he was so deeply moved that I had come to wait for him. And my companion said to him, Look, dear brother, stay and linger with us now. When the time comes again and the bells ring for your entry, then perhaps you will find some opportunity to think about these questions. And when you are allowed to step out of here for the second time, perhaps you will bring some news for your wife. He just nodded, as a sign, perhaps next time. I could see his thoughts. I knew now that he had recognized the great injustice and I had the feeling that he was ashamed. He could sense that I now knew more than I had in my human life about the evil deeds he had committed. And so he could not speak, he was ashamed. I put my hands on his shoulders and said, You don't need to be ashamed. We are all under God's protection and under his love and also under his forgiveness. When you come back next time, I will be happy and you should tell me what work you have to do. We didn't speak much to each other, but the three of us walked together up and down the paths that we were allowed to take. Then he stood in front of the well that was near the oak tree and spread out his hands as if to hold a cup of water to drink. He wanted water, and what he could then say, was, It feels good. I have the feeling that this water contains the most delicious foods. It strengthens me, it gives me courage and confidence. He was not alone at this well, there were many others who were greedily drinking from this water. And you could see that the drink was doing them good, they felt strengthened and refreshed. Then a delicate little bell began to ring and they hurried with them back to the door. There was a great crowd, they did not want to say goodbye to them from afar, but wanted to go close to the house with them. I think that the other visitors felt the same as I did. They tried to catch a glimpse of the inside of the house. They wanted to see inside the house, to see what was going on inside. But I couldn't see anything. I found the doors so narrow and so small, and my gaze couldn't reach inside. I saw nothing. The guardian angels stood there and looked carefully at everyone to see if they belonged in the house, and let them through. There wasn't just one door, there were many around the house, so everyone was able to get back in quickly, and it became quiet and calm again. Many of those who were visiting here set off to leave again. But many stayed where they were. They wanted to wait for the next encounter. So I asked my companion, Tell me, how long will it take until he can go out again, until I can see him again? And he answered me, Sister, I cannot tell you. They do not come at regular intervals. When the delicate little bell rings, the doors open again and they come out. But we have given you time or opportunity. You can do as you wish. You can do as the others do. You can wait here if you wish. Or you can walk in the immediate vicinity. Then I thought, if I walk, I would not be able to hear the bell ringing. And so I said to the angel, No, I would rather wait here. I can also pray here and wait for him. Now he knows exactly that I am here and he will be able to do his work better. It won't seem so long to him anymore, and it won't be so painful for him anymore if he knows, they're waiting for me outside too. No. I'm not going away, I'm doing what the others are doing, sometimes to sit down, sometimes lie down, and sometimes walk near this house. And I can pray too. The angel said to me, It's fine like this. It shall be as you wish. But I'm going to say goodbye now. You have now experienced with me how people can meet here. And if you become uncertain, then I will find you again. I will find you and lead you on again when the time is right for you. I thought it would be immodest of me to ask him to stay. I would have loved him to be next to me and to tell me more about the afterlife. I was so full of questions about this other world. I hadn't been here long and I was interested in so many things. The angel saw my desire and said, "You know, everything you want to hear from me now, you will hear a little from your husband, and then, later, I will teach you more. Then you will understand the rest better. But first let your husband talk to you." He hugged me and left. I looked after him until he had completely disappeared from my sight. "Yes," I prayed, "God, you merciful one, you forgive your sinners, forgive my husband's guilt, forgive me too for the guilt that I still have. Forgive everyone's guilt, make us happy and free. Give us peace, set us free, let us all live together in happiness and bliss." So I prayed. But I also talked now and then with someone who also had to wait. The others didn't really know any more than I did, and it seems to me that they hadn't been here in the spirit realm for very long either. Well, I'd like to skip the time of waiting and tell you about the following encounter. I can't describe how long I waited until my husband came back. I didn't have a way of counting time like people do, so I can't define it for you. The bell rang again and I was excited. Yes, I went very close to the gate where we had stood last time, so I assumed that he would come out of the same gate again. There was the same crowd again. But I saw him and he came towards me. We hugged each other again and were happy, and I had the feeling that he had become much freer. I had the feeling that a heavy burden had been lifted from him. Yes, he could not speak like the last time, when he stood there so deeply ashamed and silent. Now he was free and could speak to me, and I said, "Come, come, let's go a little way off and tell me. What are you doing here? How are you? Are you suffering?" Again, the same questions were asked. And he said, "First come to the well and let me have something to drink, that did me so much good last time. Until now, I couldn't go to the well, I couldn't take from this source of strength, because no one was standing there waiting for me and praying for me. But now everything is different. I am full of hope and I don't care how long I have to stay in this house, as long as I keep thinking that you are waiting here until I come." And I said very eagerly, "Yes, I'm waiting until you come, and if it takes an eternity, I'm waiting for you." Then, when he had drunk this water and strengthened himself, we went a little way off and lay down in this wonderful green meadow. Then he began to tell his story. And I was all ears, because this was all new to me. He said, "You know, I wasn't a good person, I didn't deserve that you gave me such great love. That you always cared for me and looked after me in human life. That you always forgave me. I didn't deserve it, I was rude, mean to you and to other people. Yes, you know, I'll briefly describe to you how I was received here. There were two tall, powerful and serious figures, they were beautifully dressed. They took me by the hand, one on each side, and they led me without further ado into this house. I saw my parents from afar, they waved to me, and I saw some friends. But it felt like we were standing on or in something, let's say, in a train that was moving so quickly, I didn't feel like I was running myself, but rather I felt like I was being pulled away. I was standing in front of this house so quickly. The angel who was there as a guard willingly opened the gate and nodded briefly. Then I was led into a large room. There were so many people here that you couldn't count them, they were all at their work benches, so to speak, everyone had to work. And I had to work too. There were angels there, they kept watch, they kept an eye on you and monitored what you were working on. Anyone who wanted to leave work was brusquely called away and spoken to sharply. Here you could see, there is no joking, this is serious business. Despite these many brothers and sisters who have to work, there is still a great calm. Everyone does their work and is immersed in their work and in themselves. These angels, who are the watchmen, stand there and say what they ask, you must have so much finished before I come back to you, you must. And you are afraid of their word. There are no blows or anything like that, but the word they utter, you must be with your work is like a blow that causes you pain. And I have not seen anyone who has not done their work with diligence and zeal. So I also saw, there is no contradiction here, here you have to work. And what do we have to work on here? We have to work on torches, and many other objects that serve to spread light. There are also workbenches where vessels are made, drinking cups, plates. You also have to learn how to weave. The most delicate objects are woven, as well as the ordinary ones that are needed and are not particularly decorative. You can see the work of so many that is artistic, but you can also see the simplest work, depending on their talents. For those who live with us, are a mixed bunch. Some people also had an artistic sense as people, and they are given more time to develop or to work on it. But everything is precisely measured, they cannot rest either. If they have produced something beautiful, the voice that speaks to them may be a little softer, you still have so much to do before I come back. If you are less edified by what you have made, then the words are harsh and strict again, and you say in a shrill tone, you have so much to do before I come back. You have so much to do, you know that you have to work. And the words are as hard as arrows in the body. So you pull yourself together. But it is still a justice. So I have my work too. And when I first came into this room where people are working like that, I cast my eyes here and there and wanted to see what is being done and produced there. They are all things that are needed in the spirit realm. The beautifully formed, artfully crafted things are then separated by God's guardians. What is considered ordinary and has no special value is put into the big pile. It is needed too. There are so many souls. A poor soul in the depths is happy to have a completely ordinary cup from which to drink something. The artfully carved cup or plate is taken to where people are used to holding beautiful things. Yes, I had to listen to my husband and then I said to him, these things that are being processed, they're all find their specific place. Who takes them there? Yes, he replied, we are already being taught about that, as I can now answer you. Because, understand, we do not work in this sense all the time. Then we are called back and told, you must also have your lessons. We are to be taught about God's plan of salvation. As human beings, we thought and acted incorrectly. Now it should be put right, we should recognize why we acted incorrectly, why we thought incorrectly. So we were taught. We had to leave this workroom, were then also put into groups and taught the plan of salvation. Then some are taught differently. Yes, they have to take language lessons in this house, they have to learn other languages. And they have to try to remember what is said. My husband then explained to me, we also have the opportunity to write, because our thinking is not yet so developed that we can remember everything that is said to us. We are also given a type of paper, I say paper now to make it clear to you, on which we can make our notes. Here we write our essay in order to learn from it. Because it is impossible for us to remember everything, there is so much new stuff that comes at us. Over time it gets better and better, and it is as if the memory becomes broader and larger, you can then remember the things that are said to you better. That is how my husband explained to me how it happens. But then he also said, there are times when we are taken away from our school desks. We have to go to another place. You have seen the big, huge house. Can you imagine how many rooms, how much opportunity there is to work here? And then he became a little sad and said, you know, what nobody likes and loves is when you have to be completely alone. We have our cells here, and these cells are exactly as big, as wide and as long as your outstretched arms, this is where we have to be. There is a kind of chair in there, but it is not like a chair as we are used to in human life. There is a place to sit, a board, and then, at a slant, there are rungs like a ladder, and you can lie down on them, so to speak. You can kneel on this board, you can pray so wonderfully, it offers a good opportunity for that. But this rough furniture is all we have, and I believe it has been designed in such a way that it is not comfortable, but nevertheless suitable, to give us the opportunity to pray or meditate here. So we have to stay in this cell, and it gets dark. It is not bright, like where we work or where we are taught, but the light is extinguished. It is dark in the cell, and perhaps the darkness also serves to make it easier to meditate, to see nothing, to internalize more. But it is still somewhat uncomfortable to be in this darkness, and at first it was quite difficult for me, because I felt it was like a prison. So I was locked up, it was dark around me, and I could not pray. Yes, I did think about life, but I always longed for the moment when the door would open again and I could step out. And then I made the resolution, I want to work at my workbench, I want to work, just so that I don't have to go into the cell anymore. But everyone who is in this house has to go into the cell, into the darkness. But now, since I have seen you, since I know that you are standing here in front of this house, this cell is no longer a torment for me, but I can now pray here and I am full of comfort, because I know that the door will open again. The first time I experienced it and I had to go back, even into the cell, I felt strengthened when I came out. I no longer had the feeling of oppression, but I felt much freer, and I was no longer afraid of this time in the cell. And it doesn't matter to me if I have to go back in, because I know that the door will open again, and not just the door of this cell, but also the door where you can go out to see friends and acquaintances. Now I look forward to the bell ringing and I can chat with you. So he told me, I don't know how long. The bell rang again and he had to go back. And I had no choice but to wait and stay. Now I knew something about what people do in there. I then dared to go to the others who were waiting there and talk to them about the work and life of our brothers and sisters in this big house. And that's how I found confirmation. People were waiting, one was waiting for a friend, another for their mother, another for their father, another for their sister or brother, and so on. In front of the house were those who had been waiting for a long time. They now prayed that things would be easier for those inside, so that hope and joy would grow. And so my husband was allowed to come back, and from time to time I had the feeling that he had become freer and freer. So I was happy, and we could pray together. We went aside and prayed, God, give us the strength, free all those who are in this distress, give them insight and grant them your grace. I could no longer count how many times we had seen each other, I also did not know how long I had waited. But then the angel came again, because he had said, when it is time, I will come again. I sometimes thought of him, I would have liked to ask him a few things. And then he stood there and talked to both of us, he said to my husband, it won't be long now, you won't have to go in every now and then you will be completely free. We were happy, and it was like this, he went in just once more, and when he came out, he was free. Free. He said when he came back, I don't have to go in anymore, I'm completely free. He had a bundle of clothes in his hand. I didn't care so much what kind of clothes he had, I had the feeling that he had become younger and more beautiful. The angel said, the time of this most difficult burden is now over. And turning to me, he said, if you want, you can accompany him on his way. I will tell you what you have to do. Your work consists in carrying the love that was given to you and the forgiveness and proclaiming it everywhere. You should go wherever you want, and wherever you meet exhausted and tired souls, go and comfort them and tell them what you have experienced. So we were allowed to go together. In the radiant light, under the Son of God, we went everywhere, that is, wherever the way was clear for us. There we met many a soul who had not been included in the list. These were souls who were not brought into this house, but who had a freedom, actually like me, but of a completely different kind. They were supposed to show what they wanted to do with their freedom. However, they didn't know what to do with their freedom, they couldn't fit in with God's order. So it was sometimes me, sometimes my husband, who talked to them. Soon I had the feeling that the word my husband was no longer the right term for him, but we called ourselves brother and sister. We sought out the others as such, and we also included them all as brother and sister. So we gave them comfort, and we told them about my waiting time and about my brother's life. So we were able to shake up many a soul, bring them out of their sleep and say to them, you should come forward and ask for a task. Do something meaningful in this wonderful world. Don't just stand or sit around, do something to free your brothers and sisters. Try to lift them up, pull them up, then you'll lift not only the others up, but yourself too. These brothers and sisters have the opportunity, they have freedom of movement, they can go into deeper spheres and among people where they see so much injustice, so much suffering. They have the opportunity to intervene here and there and do something for the progress of someone in the beyond or someone in this world. If they achieve such achievements, the angelic world immediately comes along and leads these souls to a well-ordered task. That was my life with my brother, who was once my husband. But today, at this hour when I am telling you this, we have long since separated, he fulfills a beautiful task and I another. But we always find each other again in our work from time to time. I was a few steps above him and fulfilled my tasks from there, but that didn't stop me from meeting him again. And so today we live in great friendship and love, not only we with each other, but our feeling of love and togetherness has become so great that we have the feeling that we are all one family, that we all belong together, that we are all brothers and sisters. The idea that you have as a human being, these closest connections with your relatives, are dissolved on a certain level in the spirit realm. And then you are free. You are free, but still connected with those with whom you once lived together, and you always find yourself with them again. Sooner or later you remember, you once stood by my side, and together with you I accomplished this task. So, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you something from my experience. You will have so many opportunities over the course of the year to hear from various brothers and sisters how things have gone for them, what they have to do, what their goal is. So, dear friends, always strive for spiritual heights, always for justice. And I would also like to recommend one thing to you, think about it now, as we enter the new year. What use is it to you if you gain the whole world but your soul suffers damage? Therefore, raise your eyes and your hearts up to God and do not forget to do truly spiritual work. Do not forget to fulfill God's laws. Life is short, what comes after is long. And the you shall enter into joy and bliss. Your bliss on earth is imperfect, it is only perfect in the kingdom of God, under the leadership of the Savior Jesus Christ, under the rule of God. God bless you all. God bless you. Report of the experience of the ascending spirit being Elizabeth with an introduction by spirit teacher Joseph through mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchausenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Next case. February 1, 1961, Anita, How Prayers Work. From the practice of a guardian spirit. Control spirit. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, now a being is speaking to you that we have summoned for this hour in particular because we assume that it can also give you some teachings. We would like to always combine what is presented here with teachings and thus enrich people's knowledge in this regard. So it is not simply about listening to how these ascending beings entered the world beyond, how they came to us, how difficult it was for them or that the gates were closed to one of them and so on, but we would also like to bring you something instructive in a broader sense. And so we have chosen this spirit being in particular for this purpose. May God bless you this hour. God bless you. Anita. God bless you. I would like to introduce myself. My name is Anita. I was asked to speak to you. I am actually used to dealing with people. But I have never had the opportunity to come into contact with people in this way, that is, to speak through a person. I say that I have a lot to do with people. So I would just like to briefly explain something about my last life, because it is actually the reason for my current task, which I want to try to explain to you. It provides the line that I do not want to deviate from today. Even as a child I was taught to pray to the Savior. My parents were pious, And so I prayed a lot to the Savior as a child. Even later I never abandoned my faith or my connection to Him. I spoke to Him, I not only said my usual prayers, but I believed that I had to tell Him everything that had happened around me, and I hoped for an answer from Him. If I was not clear about certain things, I complained to Him, not to anyone else, and I asked Him, "Give me an answer if you can't do it today, maybe tomorrow or the day after." I prayed every day. So I waited for the answer, and actually I heard that answer. I was shown the way, what I should do and what I should not do. I must say that I observed God's commandments exactly and fulfilled them to the best of my ability. In this way I always came into a closer relationship with the Savior. I brought all my concerns to Him alone. I spoke to Him, and I got the answer from Him. From Him, I assumed. Now, listen. When I came into the spiritual world, I was surprised. I think that's all of them, so to speak. These impressions that come to you are overwhelming, and you are amazed depending on where you wake up. As a human being, I cultivated this relationship with Christ. I prayed and I believed that He would speak to me personally. I accepted it. Now my guardian spirits and many others stood around me. I did not know what rank they held, but it seems to me that they had their very special tasks and that there was a great difference in rank or in grandeur between these beings. I then tried somewhat shyly to express myself to the person closest to me, which of all is Christ, because it was self-evident to me that He would be there when I arrived. They gave me a smile and said, "Dear child, you can meet Christ then, you can see Him, but He has not come when you arrived." Then I replied, "I have always spoken to Him, He has always answered everything for me." They did not explain it to me straight away, but simply said, "Yes, in time we will be able to explain everything to you. But you must find your way now, and you can now really live full of joy and bliss. You can look at everything, you can come with us, you can enjoy the beauties." Yes, I agreed with that. But I said, "Why is it not possible for me to see Christ? I and all people, we worship Him, He is so close to us, and so we would expect Him to be there when we return." They explained to me how infinite numbers of people always come back and that it would certainly not be possible for Christ to make the special greeting every time a being arrives. No, it was not like that, but there would be enough celebrations and enough occasions to meet Him. Then I was led through this beautiful world, which was new to me, that is, I believed it was new. In fact I had already experienced it, but this was not immediately brought to my attention. During this tour, this Spirit of God spoke to me one time and gave His explanation, then it was another one, so it was a whole group. They explained to me about prayer, and they said to me, "You will find a wonderful task in it. We need all those who have returned for a task, we divide them up, and we have a job for each of them. Depending on the life he has lived, his piety and his talents, we assess him and then give him a task." Okay, so I had already been assigned to a job. But they wanted to teach me in detail about prayer. Then they said to me, "Look at these people, look at those you lived among. They are Christians, the law of God is above them, so they should know what to do and what not to do. This law of God can also be called the great world conscience. This great world conscience is audible to those who have ears to hear. In this conscience, which lies above humanity, is the word of God. They are the commandments that were once given, they have been in this great world conscience since that day. All people can hear what they should do, you should believe in God, you should not kill, you should not steal and so on. We know it. If you are against this law, you will be punished by the spiritual world, because they are spiritual laws. People have woven these spiritual laws into their own world, and so order and law prevail in an orderly state. Here too, everyone must act according to order and law." I was further informed, when the individual prays and speaks to God, to Christ, he should and must do this, he must pray to God and plead with Him in the name of Christ, then there is a possibility that this prayer will be passed on. You have certainly already been interested in this or thought about it. How wonderful it is that my prayer was answered. But how does that happen? I didn't speak at all, I just thought, and it came true.